We'll be turning now to the readings for the sermon this morning. The first one from Isaiah chapter 6 and then Mark chapter 4 where the text is found. And in our reading of Isaiah, we'll see that Jesus actually makes reference to this quote regarding those who are ever hearing but never understanding, never seeing but never perceiving. Now, it's important to note that as we read this particular quote of Isaiah, that it actually comes after the six woes in the previous chapter regarding the Israelites' hardness of heart. We're going to look a bit more at that in the sermon, but for now, just take note as to where this quote in the Old Testament fits in with the broader context of what Isaiah is prophesying about. So let's turn then first to Isaiah chapter 6, the verses 1 through to 13. There's no more pages turning, so I'm assuming you've all found it. Isaiah chapter 6, the verses 1 to 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." Now turning to Mark chapter 4, where we will be preaching from this morning. Mark chapter 4, the verses 1 through to 20, the parable of the sower. Page number 839 in your pew Bibles. "And again he," that is Jesus, "began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." A quote from Isaiah we see there. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So far as the reading of God's holy word. As I said this morning, the text is from Mark chapter 4, the verses 1 to 20. And the sermon is entitled Generous Gospel Sowers. Generous Gospel Sowers. Now, some of us like a bit of a mystery, don't we? Maybe it's because we like the anticipation that the suspense creates. Maybe it's because we like the challenge of solving it. On the other hand, some of us don't like mysteries at all. We hate the anticipation, the suspense, and the challenge. We just prefer the mystery to be revealed. Well, we're going to be looking at a bit of a mystery this morning in the parable of the sower. The Sunday school definition of a parable, you may have heard before, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In its most basic form, this boils it down pretty well. But to flesh it out a little more, a parable involves the use of a metaphor or a simile drawn from nature to get the attention of the hearer and then to leave them pondering its meaning. You see, the effect of a parable is to invoke the imagination of the hearer and to involve them in the situation. Kind of like a mystery to be solved, if you like. The parable of the sower is no different. It contains a mystery to the kingdom of God that, when understood, unlocks a correct understanding of Jesus' whole mission. And it's something that we all need to hear today, because understanding this mystery will impact the way that we sow the word of God. So firstly then, to begin unlocking the mystery of this parable, I want to first look at the word generously sown. The word generously sown. Now the hype and the buzz of Jesus' public ministry continues as we arrive today in the parable of the sower. He's been generously sowing the message of his mission. But it's growing in such intensity that it's bringing confusion. In fact, it's actually bringing a lot of opposition. The exorcism of the unclean spirit that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, remember, caused amazement. But there's misunderstanding about who this man with so much power is. We didn't look at it, but shortly thereafter, there was Mark retells the story of the leper. Jesus heals him, you may remember, but he strictly warns him not to tell anyone about it. You see, Jesus knows the confusion that his healing and teaching is creating. And more than anything, there's this opposition that's growing amongst the Pharisees. It's growing in intensity. He claims to be able to forgive sins on behalf of God. He wines and dines with tax collectors and sinners. Surely, they say, he's possessed by the devil himself. So there's this growing confusion, this actually building resentment to Jesus' mission. This man claims to be the Son of God, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. By whose authority and whose power does he come when he says to repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand? And so as we arrive in our text today, Jesus sits in a boat on the sea while an ever-growing crowd gathers. And again, he teaches. And with all of this simmering confusion and this opposition building, Jesus teaches them many things in parables, as it says in verse 2. Now, this teaching in parables is a deliberate tactic that Jesus brings to use for a very specific purpose. You see, choosing the parable of the sower points to something different about how Jesus chooses to reveal his mission. And he wants his hearers, he wants us, to sit up and to take notice. At the beginning of verse 3, the Greek verb akouo, which means listen, it's used there in the imperative command. This is a command: sit up, take notice. And just in case you were left pondering about how important this is, Mark also uses this Greek word eido, which is behold, pay attention. So listen, behold, Jesus is saying, what I'm about to tell you is important. The importance of what Jesus is about to say is further confirmed in his conclusion in verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the exact meaning and purpose of this phrase will be revealed later when he speaks to the disciples in private. But for now, what we see here is that Jesus is calling attention to anyone who will listen to what he has to say. He's calling people to listen, to think, to inquire, to investigate. He's sowing the seed for all to hear. You may recall, we looked a few weeks ago, that Jesus said in Mark 1 verse 15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Now Jesus, as the Son of God, the Messiah, he's come to fulfill all that has been prophesied about the kingdom of God in the Old Testament scriptures. He's come as the promised Messiah King in the line of King David to rule over God's people in a kingdom that comes with power and authority. This is his message. This is his mission. And he's been generously sowing seeds of this message so that everyone can see it for themselves. Think about it. His powerful public teaching that amazed the crowds was sowing the seeds that he taught with an authority never seen before. His exorcism of the unclean spirit was sowing the seeds that he even has the power over the devil. His healing of the paralytic was again sowing the seeds that he is the Son of Man who has the power not only to heal, but who has the authority to forgive sins. And now as we come to the parable of the sower, Jesus starts with a picture of a sower who sows the seed quite liberally, it seems. His description starts at verse 4. The sower, you'll see, sows the seed, but he kind of seems to throw it with this reckless abandon. It seems to be falling everywhere, on the path, in shallow soil, amongst the weeds even. Now, just as an aside, comparing this method of sowing to our modern day practices is unthinkable. These days, commercial cropping involves the use of machines that direct drill each seed into the ground at prescribed depths and widths, and they even get a little pocket starter of fertilizer to give it every possible opportunity of germinating. But this ancient Middle Eastern method called broadcasting was the complete opposite. The sower, grabbing handful of seed, would just throw it over the ground. Some of it landing on the path, some on rocky soil, even some amongst the weeds. And it was after that that the seed was then ploughed into the soil. You see, Jesus here, he was describing a typical broadcasting method that all of his hearers would have understood. The sower wasn't so concerned with where the seed fell. It was just the way that it was done. And so it is with the sowing of the word. As Jesus sows the word generously, it falls in different places. But nevertheless, he sows generously, no matter where it falls. You see, it's not just for his immediate disciples to hear. It's for everyone to hear. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is the gospel call he liberally proclaims. Now, many people will hear it. But as we know and as we've seen, many people will reject it. That's what we're going to look at now in the word widely rejected. The word widely rejected. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the misunderstanding and opposition to Jesus and his mission has been growing. It's no accident that Jesus brings out the parable of the sower at this point of his public ministry. He's about to highlight how the seed of the gospel is received in different ways by those who hear it. There were those who heard his teaching, but it fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Verse 4. It never sunk in, never made any impact. Jesus said that people had the word taken away from them by Satan. They rejected it by never receiving it. The Pharisees and religious leaders come to mind. Then there were those who heard his teaching, but it fell in the shallow soil and never really took root. Verse 5. They seemed interested to begin with, joyful, but when things got a little hard, they gave up. There was no real substance to their response. And so once they encountered a little bit of doubt, perhaps others questioning their newfound faith or hard things coming their way, they simply gave up. They rejected it because they only received it superficially. Now, the crowds who once cheered Jesus on in the triumphal entry, soon to call for his crucifixion, come to mind. Then there were those who heard Jesus' teaching, but it fell among the thorns. They seemed to take hold of the word, but then they became more concerned with the enticements of the world instead. Caring for family, business, leisure, perhaps. The riches of the world deceived them. And these things choked out the word, making it unfruitful. Again, the word didn't take hold in their lives. They rejected it because they found the things of the world more attractive. The rich young ruler comes to mind. He asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, but he left disheartened when Jesus told him to sell all he had. And so we see here that the parable of the sower demonstrates the many and the varied responses to the word, to Jesus, to the gospel. The question is then, should we be surprised that so many reject it? Should we be disheartened that so many do? Jesus knew that many would, but it didn't stop him from generously sowing the word, did it? People were confronted with Jesus' teaching, his power and his authority, yet they still rejected him. When people today are confronted with Jesus, they reject him too. Street evangelism can be a very disheartening experience in that respect. Many reject the gospel. But we shouldn't be surprised. Or what about new believers or discipleship ministries? Some members start with much enthusiasm and gusto. But sometimes some of them fall away after a time. Discouraging, to say the least. But we shouldn't be surprised. When the gospel goes out, people hear it, but many will reject it. Now you might be sitting there thinking, well, why are you telling me this? This sounds all a little depressing and a little disheartening. Not really a very good evangelism sales pitch. Well, I say it because it's what Jesus was saying in the parable of the sower. A lot of the gospel seed that Jesus sowed didn't germinate. But that didn't stop him from sowing the word. He knew that would happen. Try not to get too disheartened when you don't see results. We're simply called to be faithful in issuing the gospel call to repent and believe. To do it in truth and in love. But don't expect people to come flocking in their droves. Now, yes, I will admit there have been times of great revival in the history of the church. The work of God at a time appointed by him. And let's not give up praying that God would do that in our lifetime for our nation. But in the main, it doesn't happen like that. Be ready to accept that even when confronted with Jesus, the living word, people will continue in their unbelief. But take heart, because that's not all the parable is teaching us about the sowing of God's word and the response it generates. What about the seed that fell on good soil? This is a totally different response that produces a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold. What about that response? So far, we've looked at the word generously sown, the word widely rejected. Now we're going to look at the word divinely unlocked. The word divinely unlocked. The key to understanding the entirety of this parable is found in Jesus' words in verse 11. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables. Now, there are a couple of things to unpack here to get a clear understanding of where Jesus is going with this. Firstly, this word secret, in other Bible translations, it's mystery. It's a translation for the Greek word mysterion. Now, it's important that we understand that this word doesn't mean a secret or a mystery that's unknowable or incomprehensible, like a carefully guarded national treasure that no one's ever allowed to know. No, it's a mystery that's a divine secret that is knowable, but only by the power of God. A secret that relates to the kingdom of God. A secret, when revealed, enlightens the mind to the things that belong to God and his kingdom. There are those who do respond to this message, and they respond by inquiring. The disciples came and they asked Jesus about the meaning of the parables he'd been giving. They had listened and they'd heard what Jesus said. This wasn't just a passing interest for them. They listened and they wanted to continue listening. This mystery had perked their interest, and so they wanted to know more. And so we see in verse 10 that when they were alone with Jesus, they asked him about those parables that he'd been telling them about. You'll notice that in verse 2, Jesus had been teaching them in many parables. But he chooses, when the disciples ask him, to give them an explanation of the parable of the sower. And the reason for that is found in verse 13. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? You see, what Jesus is saying, if they don't understand this parable, then they're not going to understand the others. He's pointing to the fact that there's something significant that they need to understand about this parable of the sower before they can begin grappling with the others. What Jesus is revealing is that the point of this parable is to reveal that Jesus is the key. He is the key to unlocking the mystery of his very own teaching. He is the very key in believing that he is the Son of God, the promised Messiah. His public ministry through his teaching and miracles is revealing that to them. And that's why he says, to them has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. It's Jesus. They just don't fully get it yet. It's something that they're slowly coming to understand. You see, entry into the kingdom of God is given through Jesus, who reveals it to them. He's revealed it, and they need to take hold of it by faith and believe it. All the Father has given him, that is Jesus, he is revealing and making known to them. In his explanation of the parable in the verses 14 to 20, he's making known how his mission will be received by those who hear it. We looked at that before, didn't we? Some will reject it due to their unbelief. But others will repent and believe in Jesus and produce a fruitful harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold. So Jesus is giving the disciples here a picture of what they can expect. As they believe in Jesus, who unlocks the mystery of the kingdom of God, they will produce a fruitful harvest because he has revealed himself and the kingdom of God to them. But there's something else about Jesus' teaching in this parable that can be hard to understand. What does he mean in verse 12 when he says, "But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Is Jesus purposely speaking in parables just to keep people outside the kingdom of God? Well, yes and no. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament reference we looked at in Isaiah 6, verse 9. Now remember, in its original context, these verses come after those six woe passages in Isaiah chapter 5, in which God laments the wickedness of his very own people. God was confirming the people of Israel in their own stubborn and rebellious unbelief. He was telling them that they were so hard-hearted in their unbelief that they were unable to understand or perceive the things of God. They were so hardened that God confirmed what their hearts desired. To be ever hearing, but never understanding. Ever seeing, but never perceiving. Now we must be clear here. Jesus was not speaking or saying that he spoke in parables to keep people out of the kingdom of God. Speaking in parables confirmed those who had rejected him in their unbelief and were already outside the kingdom of God. In the last part of the prophecy, it says, lest they should turn and be forgiven. What he's doing is that he's actually confirming that the very last thing they want to do is to turn to Jesus and be forgiven. In their unbelief, they've excluded themselves from the kingdom of God. And so we see, don't we? On the one hand, Jesus' message and mission of salvation, it's a riddle to unbelieving ears. But on the other hand, it's received by those who listen, inquire, and believe. And after having believed, they keep on listening. Those outside are not necessarily denied the possibility of belief. They're excluded from the secret of the kingdom of God so long as they continue in their own rebellious unbelief. Quite simply, the secrets of God are not revealed to those who continue in their unbelief. The gospel is nonsense to those who don't know Jesus. They need Jesus to unlock the secret of the word. Without him, they reject the word as it falls on the path, the rocky soil, amongst the weeds. We see, don't we, in this parable, that the sowing of the word, it demands a response. Either it brings the sinner into the presence of a gracious and merciful God as they repent and trust in Jesus to live a life that bears much gospel fruit. Or else it confirms the unbeliever in their unbelief. And it brings them before the judgment seat of God, where they will one day face his just and righteous condemnation. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, sow the word. Bring the gospel call to repent and believe. Hold out Jesus to others. Tell people about him and what he's done for you. Let your life evidence how he is producing in you a harvest of gospel fruit that is full of hope and joy. Let the seed of Jesus fall wherever you go. Apply it liberally. And don't be too concerned with how it will be received. Be faithful with the gospel and leave the results up to God, because in Jesus, he's the one who unlocks the mystery of the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our good and gracious Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you for the word as it is brought to us in Scripture. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you revealed the word to us and that you unlocked the mystery. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your work of salvation in bringing us to a saving faith. Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply liberally the gospel message, that we would be faithful in this call, and that we would leave the results to you, Father. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.